Welcome to the Global Mission Zinc Podcast. Today's episode features Robert Persaud.
When we look at the church, when we look at our call, when we look at what God has brought us into, we can rejoice. There is a specific way. This is a call that God wants us to focus on and look to Him. And so I'd like us to turn our attention to the book of Psalms, the famous chapter, Psalms 133, dealing with unity. We've been hearing in these meetings, the word unity has been coming up. And I'm the first one to tell you, when it comes to unity, and I know maybe all of us would feel somewhere, that it seems to be we are growing and God is working in us. It's such an important chapter throughout scriptures. It says here, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." The Lord will bless the reading of His precious word. This evening, I'd like to direct our attention to one simple word. Five letters, and that's the word unity. Not unity within itself, but unity of the Spirit. I know we've often talked about unity in spirit with each other, but I'm talking specifically this now is unity of the Spirit, meaning of the Holy Spirit. And as we focus on that, it's very important because this has been the prayer of Jesus. This has been God's desire. And so we find that throughout history, throughout the Word of God, we find the Lord has been speaking to us and showing us, and He has God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has been operating within that realm. That's the realm of unity. So this evening's message is focused on unity. I know there is an area here in Saskatchewan called unity. Needful for the people to be in unity. Wherever that place is, you might know more. But a few years ago, this example came out, which I had shared with the traveling ministries recently. And that is the model of a bicycle. And you go to the store and you purchase a bicycle, that bicycle is in a box, isn't that so? And when you purchase that, you have to actually take out that bicycle and you have to ensure all the parts are fitted together. The handle, the saddle, the chain, everything else. And then when that assembly takes place, then we could say that we have a functional instrument, a functional bicycle that we can enjoy our rides. And isn't that right, Brother Marcus? I'm just thinking about you when I'm sharing this here. So The functionality is very important. All the parts were together in this box. But it doesn't make any sense for it to be together in that box. They had to be fitted together and in working. The functionality is important. And so that's important for the church to operate in unity of the Holy Spirit, unity of the Spirit of God. So this here, this simple example, I recalled over 20 years ago, Brother Frank Patterson had used this at one of our elders and deacons in Georgetown, Guyana. And that remained with me. And it's been such a blessing. So unity means the functionality, really, because we could be together in a crowd, but we may not necessarily be in unity. But when we are working together, being guided by the divine Holy Spirit, then we can truly say we are in unity. You know, today I want us to think on this, that unity in itself is a divine concept. Unity is a divine concept. How do I know that? First, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 and 27, a very popular, familiar scripture verse. When the Lord says, they were talking, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the first time we see the Trinity comes out in scriptures. Those words are, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make man. Let us make man. And so with that agreement, with that unity, with that coming together, that's a divine concept. So God, in the same way, when He made the crown of His creation, the masterpiece of His creation, He made man after His likeness in Genesis 1, 26, 27. God said, come, let us make man in our likeness, in our image. This is tremendous. This is almost like mind-blowing to me to think that the God of heaven and earth deciding to make us, I like to use that word, dignified human beings. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are not just ordinary. We are dignified. We are made by God Almighty, by the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He said, made in His likeness and in His image. And that connection that we have, just like there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the tripartite, God as we see it, God has made us as a tripartite beings as well. Amen. And that spirit, body, and soul. And so, I may mention the word spirit, firstly, because our spirit is very, very much a key part. That's the connection. That's how we communicate with God. Is the Holy Spirit ministering to our spirit. The Holy Spirit anointing our spirit. The Holy Spirit empowering our spirit. That's the connection God Almighty has privileged us. So we should never sell ourselves short. We should always see the way that God has called us and our purpose and fulfillment and our destiny is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So even the prayer of Jesus, because God, here's a beautiful example of this unity or the Trinity, some people like to say. God the Father sending God the Son. And He came and He was with His disciples. And there came a time when He had to leave. And He told them He is going back to the Father, but the Father will send the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful picture? There's no loneliness involved here. We are not left alone on this earth. The Holy Spirit, the one who is the teacher of all truths, and He is with us, that we could depend on Him. We could ask Him. We could intercede. And He could lead us every step of the way. So, unity is found in the Scripture, right through the Scripture. There are many, many Scriptures that I can read. But this concept, I'd like us to see that we must be in unity with our God. In other words, we must be aware of God's will for us. We must operate in that realm, obeying Him and following His leadings. You know something? God could do anything and everything. He could do all the things that are required on earth. God does not need us, really. He could do everything, right? Because He is God. But it's more than that. You know what? God does not need us. God wants us. That's the big difference. That's here where you come in here. And God wants us to be inclusive in His program. And He wants you to be a part of what He's doing. And that's a wonderful mystery. That's a wonderful thing. Just to think of God, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to be the CEO of my life, guiding me, leading me each step of the way. Unity. And we must have unity, firstly, with God. If there is not such a strong connection with God, we find all the other areas, there will be a breakdown. We find today there is a breakdown in marriages between husbands and wives. A lack of unity, isn't that so? In the home, between parents and children, many prophecies came through this evening on the prodigals, because that's important in the home. Unity in the home is necessary. It's a God-given that we have that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says it clearly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we have got to come to the place where we are seeking God. We are incorporating God in our daily lives, in seeking Him. Young people, you invite the Lord to be part of your school work, your studies, your work program. Older folks, you invite the Lord. Invite Him. He's willing. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking gently. We have this beautiful painting here of Holman Hunt. And that the latch is not from the outside. The latch of that door is in the inside. We have got to open that door. Because that opening of that door speaks of that communication. When He comes in, that speaks of a unity. That speaks of a coming together. And an exchange takes place to be in unity with God. There is such a concept. This concept of unity is so wide, it's so deep. We could go on all week, maybe all month on this. It takes time. But God has called us today. People from all over the world, those listening over the internet from different parts. I don't know, India, Africa, down in the Caribbean, wherever. It's like a multiplicity. It's like the garden with different flowers. What's God's intention? God's intention is to have unity in diversity. In other words, that's the simple meaning of a university, young people. Isn't that so? To have unity in diversity so that there could be an understanding. That's the real meaning there. But Psalms 133 is the chapter which we can look at. I'd like us to look briefly at St. John chapter 17, verse 21. When Jesus was here on earth, in John chapter 17, verse 21. And this was the earnest prayer of Jesus. Imagine, even Jesus praying this prayer. He says here, John 17, 21, that they all may be one. Who is he talking about here? It's the church. It's you. It's me. It's families. It's elders. It's deacons. It's deacons' wives. Elders' wives. Every single one of us here. That they all may be one. In Spanish, we use the word uno. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, now he's comparing this relationship. As thou, Father, art in me, Jesus is saying these words, and I in thee. That's a beautiful example. That's a reciprocal indwelling. When the Father, Jesus was talking in him, and he is in the Father. That's a mystery. That's the realm of the divine. No language could explain that. But you know, and I know, that's our experience. Amen? Yeah. That they also, he's referring to the church again, continuation of verse 21, that they also may be one in us. You see the incorporation here? Come, he's calling you. Right there he's saying, come. And he says he wants to come into that door of Helmut Hunt's story. And so he wants to come in. He wants to be part. Don't neglect him. Saints of God, don't put him aside. Give him the utmost importance. And you will see the difference in your walk with God. Young people, I challenge you this evening. Give God that place. I know what I'm telling you because I've experienced that. At school, you will excel. You study hard, you work hard, and you trust in the Lord. Lean heavily on Him. And this prayer of Jesus, that they all may be one in us. What a beautiful partnership. I think that's a beautiful partnership to be involved. That the world, and the reason for that is, mainly it says here, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. That's the evangelistic program. That's the big evangelistic program. So if you can see that picture, some people may argue, they may tell us, oh, you have to go out and have crusades and share tracts and go out to me. All that is wonderful. That's good. I have nothing against that. But what I'm saying, if we really are in prayer, in our commitment, are linked to the Lord, it says here that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And I tell you, once people believe that God sent Jesus into the world, that's the fulfillment of John 3:16, a very popular verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that reaches out to the entire world, to people. We will be more victorious in that way. We see here in Israel, the land of Israel, two seas that are mentioned here is the Sea of Galilee, which is a freshwater body of water. And as that's in the northern part of Israel. And this is what the psalmist is writing here. And he's mentioning about that. But before I go forward, between that fresh water called the Sea of Galilee, there is the tributary out of that, known as the Jordan River, the famous Jordan, where lots of miracles, lots of history in God's Word, as you read. And as it flows down there, it goes to the second sea, known as the Dead Sea. And there is no fish in there because it's a combination of chemicals, of salt, and it's very, very much, you know, not suitable for the existence of life. So there it is, between these two here, the psalmist said, behold, take a step back. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren now, for us, to dwell together in unity. And the best example he used here, it is like the ointment or the oil when Aaron, the high priest, was anointed. He was anointed. That flowed from his head to the beard of Aaron and down to the skirts or the garments. And then it flowed down to the earth. And that speaks of the anointing of the Lord. The anointing over his body. The Lord, the anointing of God, the Father, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is over the body of Christ. And here I should insert an important point that the Holy Spirit does not anoint the flesh. Examine it. This oil from the head of Aaron right down to his beard and right down to the skirts. You see, the anointing is more God's Holy Spirit, the empowerment, the unction. That's another word in 2 John 2:27, speaking about that unction that God has given us. And the purpose of that is to enable us, is to give us the wisdom to be, for the Lord to be part of us. That's how he leads us. We are to be led by the Spirit. We were born of the Spirit. And God wants us to be led of the Spirit. And that's the true symbol of unity that God is working in us. And I could go on to say that it mentioned here, as the dew of Hermon. Mount Hermon is the highest point in Israel. It's about 3,000 meters high, the highest point. And it's been said that many days or throughout a large portion of the year, if not the entire year, because of the height of Mount Hermon, is capped with the snow. A beautiful sight with the glistening of the sun over that mountain there in the snow. He said, behold, imagine the psalmist is referring to this unity, this picture of unity as the highest peak. In other words, in Israel, you couldn't get higher than that. And it says, how beautiful, how blessed it is. And he's saying, he's referring to that as Mount Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. The mountains of Zion were more located north of Jerusalem. And this particular Mount Hermon is, many of the people refer to that. That's been the pride of Israel, I would say. And that's why it says here, it's like the Lord commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. But let's come back to the high priest here and this anointing. This is a beautiful picture. When the high priest is anointed, that anointing goes and it flows downwards. And as God anoints the body, for first of all, who is head of the body? Jesus Christ. And what's the meaning of Christ? The meaning of the word Christ comes from the word Christus. And Christus means the anointed one. And so we have a head, the church, the head of the church is Jesus Christ. And he's the anointed one. So the body should be anointed, isn't that so? So Jesus is anointed. And so the body should be anointed. And it's a beautiful picture, because I see that the unity and the anointing, they are synonymous. They flow together for some reason. Because unity is being that divine concept and that anointing that flows. You know something? There is so many things that we cannot accomplish on our own. I need to learn that. Maybe some of us need to, maybe not all of you, but it's a learning process that God does not want us. There is no one-man ministry that's been often spoken about. In Proverbs, let's turn over to Proverbs. I'm not going to give you plenty of scriptures. I just want to lay out this concept and some features of it here. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, the wise man Solomon is sending us to the tiny creature, so small that we ignore. It's sometimes on our dinner table, and we don't even know it sometimes. And that's the ant I'm talking about. And that's so remarkable. And so, what's the instructions here? He said, go to the ant. You imagine intelligent human beings as we are. It's telling us, go to the ant. Thou sluggard, just consider her ways. That's all the scripture is asking. That's all it's asking of us. Consider her ways. And as you read through that context there, you will see how important that little creature, that little insect, if you will, operating and doing its work. Where we are in South America, we've got some large anthill, as large as about 5 feet high. And there are certain areas known as the savanna areas, the flatlands, they're there. And with heavy rainfalls and so, that does not affect the anthill. And so there are some things here with unity that comes about with this ant, the way how they operate. It's very, very unique in the sense. First of all, the ant, I understand the ant has two stomach, not just one, like you and I. It's got two. And very often the ant would fill one of his stomach and go out into the field just to feed another one. Just to feed. Isn't that remarkable? And he would just go out there. And they work together in unity. A little creature can teach us so much about unity, about this ant. And this is what, in this ant hill, the scientists have done research. They've magnified these areas where these ants are living in, and they found out that it is so uniquely divided and compartmentalized that there are areas of food storage that the ant would go out, gather and store. There are areas of nursery for the younger, and this thing is so much, and they're so organized. There's the soldier ants that I call them, and in the moment someone would try to poke at this ant nest or try to destroy, what happened? There's a rush out there, the soldiers, and they would respond, just like 9/11 or something. They would respond to defend their territory. And each person has their own areas. Just like the church. Each one of us have got our own ministry. And I'll tell you one thing that I would encourage the church. Is just to pray. Ask the Lord to help us to simply stay in our lane. Am I making sense? Let's stay within our lane. And don't let's try to be somebody else. or try to do something else outside of where God has called us. You see, my time is running out. Anyway, so this is the ant. The story of the ant is a story of unity, a creature that God has really called us to walk with each other. I tell you what, and the blessings of the Lord, and that's beautiful words that we sang, it shall flow like a river. It shall fall like the rain. It shall rise like the dawning. Oh, when the Spirit of the Lord shall come, you know, that's the big difference. As we invite the Spirit of God, He will help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Father. Glory to the Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit. Glory to the three in one. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your calling. We thank you, Lord, for your people. Oh, Lord, we pray that, Lord, may the spirit of unity be among us in the local churches, in our homes, in our communities, wherever we are, Lord. Hey, Lord, we thank you as members of the body, as members within our own bodies, so united and working together, the functionality, Lord, may we just yield to you as members of the body of Christ, yield our members, dear Father, that we might be effective to your praise, honor, and glory. Bless us now, we pray. Bless this word unto our hearts. We pray a special prayer for those who are on the internet listening and participating in this meeting. We pray you bless them abundantly. Bless them, we pray. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we pray. And all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.